we would go by, I guess. It's like, but anyway, we give him our problem to help us.
Oh, right.
Like, a lot of times, I'm bad enough to even give him food.
Right.
He can't help us if we don't give him food.
Right.
Like Elijah.
Hey!
We sometimes want to hide from the storms of life that are raging outside. Starting over.
Church, I don't feel like I'm working much.
Oh my.
He
said, you might not feel like you're worth much, but he said, you're worth a lot. He said, Jesus would have died for you if you'd been the only one.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Hey,
there goes the innocent dying for the guilty. And I just thank Jesus for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody else?
Book of Acts, chapter number 12. You pray for us, and Lord, help us tonight. And we want to be certainly sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Acts, chapter number 12. You find that place, you get there, and you're able to, let's stand together. And I appreciate the Lord giving us a witness and helping us just to know the direction. And I've been thankful for that Ephesians 3:20. That's a good one, one of my favorites, and I praise the Lord for it. Bible says in the book of Acts chapter number 12, and I might have just a little bit of reading. You just pray for us at the Lord to help us. Verse 1 said, now about that time that Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night. Boy, I like that. Thank God. He said the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And it said, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hand. As the angel said, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy handles. And so he did. And it saith unto them, cast thine arm about thee and follow me. And when he went out and followed him, he wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. But I like verse 10 said, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth out of the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. Forthwith the angel departed from him. Last verse I'll read, verse number 12. Said, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight. And to God in heaven, I'd ask you for a few minutes of time. Urge you to help us tonight. I pray, God, to get our eyes just a little above. And Lord, this whole world, Father, I pray. And to set them on that heavenly city. And God, I thank you, Lord, tonight. And Father, for the privilege to stand in this place. I thank you, God, for the privilege. And to open my Bible one more time. I thank you, God, for the blessedness. And God, of knowing what you've done in our heart. And I pray, Lord, I have no doubt and none whatsoever in my mind. And Lord, that there's better vessels. And Lord, all across this house. And God, that you could use to preach the word far better than I ever could. But Lord, there'll not be none of them that'll enjoy it any more than what I have. And God, I thank you for it. And not a burden, but a blessing. And to get to serve the Lord Jesus. I pray, help us for a little while. And we'll do the best we can. And to try to honor you, Lord, I pray. pray, asking you all of these favors in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. As to thinking about this, of course, been preaching about on the Wednesday nights, on going back to the pattern, getting back to the first church and what God has designed for us to be. And I thought about this when you come out of chapter 12, that verse says it like this there in verse 5. He said, and there was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I thought there's a few things I can tell you. That the church is sure to suffer. It's sure to be satisfied. It's sure to be sanctified. It's sure to spread. But if you ever go to the house of God, it ought to be a place where there's folks that are seeking the will and the face of God inside the church. I want you to listen to me. There's no smoke shows in this church. And when you come up on this, there's no great big eyes. There's no little use. But I'll tell you, well, I got to thinking about it. Thank God, well, before they ever had God inside the building, there was people there that was praying. I will say this. I want you to hear me tonight. I think one of the lost great things in the modern church is understanding the power of prayer. I want you to hear me, friend. I believe that the devil just about he'll let us sing till we're blue in the face. He'll let us preach. He'll let us do all of those things. But as long as he can keep you out of your prayer closet, he understands. Now listen, I never have read in this book. Now I want you to hear me. I never have read in this book where whenever it comes time to come in the church, we got to shut the doors to keep the enemy out. I've never read when it comes to singing, and we've got to shut the doors to keep the enemy out. But I'll tell you this, when you get to reading about praying, he said, go enter into your closet and shut the door. Amen. Hey, you know why? Thank God. Boy, if the enemy can get you, I want you to hear me, and I want you to listen well. I'll guarantee you, this is not a place to stand. Brother Jones, even if I've got the message, if I've got it studied out, not a place to stand without praying. I get asked all the time, and they'll say something like this. They'll say, which one's more important, praying or studying? And you know what the answer is? Yes, amen. That's the answer, thank God. And they're both important, amen. And they're both equally important. And when you study the Word, this right here gets God in you. And when you go to your prayer closet, that gets God on you, amen. And now I want you to listen to me, friend. You don't want to get those two worlds mixed up. You need both of them. I need to get the Word of God on the inside. I need the presence of God manifested on the outside. If there's ever anything I think that the church needs to get back to. Matter of fact, I was praying about this. I hope you'll pray. Help me pray about it. It may be the least attended revival we'll ever have. But I'm really praying about God giving us a revival of prayer. Just meeting for a whole week, maybe a whole month, and just praying every night. And no singing, and no preaching, and just meeting together and just praying. I'll guarantee you, listen, it's not too many fleshly things going to get too excited about praying. But oh, hear me, friend. If you've ever, now look at me. I realize I was preaching today, and I realize sometimes when I preach, I'm trying to tell folks about things that they've never experienced. But I'm telling you, there ain't nothing in this world. I wouldn't trade times in the pulpit for times I've had. I mean, I wish every time I prayed, I felt like I rang the prayer bells of heaven. All glory came down and entered my soul. That's just simply not the truth, and it's simply not the case. But boy, listen, they sometimes had one of those times this morning. I was just praying. I was trying to get a hold of God for some folks, and boy, I wasn't even looking for it. And the next thing I know, that the presence of God. And when, boy, when God shows up in your praying, that's when the time comes. Hey, listen, you don't look here, friend. If God's meeting with you, thank God. Show up to work 2 hours late. Call into the next thing. Don't cut off God. Amen. That's the God of glory. I'm meeting with you in that hour. That's
that's the most important thing that'll ever happen, amen. Oh, listen, friend, I got to thinking about folks. The truth is, most folks just don't know the power that's in prayer. I was thinking about this. As church finds that Peter's in prison, and they ain't got no, look at me, friend, they ain't got no economic power. They said they can't pull all their money together. They can't go hire the best lawyer. Thank God they ain't got enough to bribe whoever the judge is. They don't have no economic power. They didn't start no social movement. Jordan, they didn't come out and storm the streets and loot the town and call disciples Lives Matter, amen. They didn't do none of that. They didn't have no political power. They didn't have nobody. But I tell you what, friend, the only thing they had was prayer. And what they found out was the only thing they had was the only thing they needed, amen. And don't have to have all the rest of that. And we don't have to have, listen, you don't have to have, how many of y'all, let's just do this for a second. How many of y'all ever listened to D.L. Moody preach? How many of you have heard D.L. Moody preach, amen? Look here, I'm greatly disappointed. I'm going to be honest with you. Hey, go look him up sometime, would you? Go listen to D.L. Moody preach. And I'll tell you what you'll find out. D.L. Moody was no great orator. He wouldn't stand up there. He was no C.H. Spurgeon. He didn't have had no great way with words. He was, a matter of fact, I'll tell you this. Me and Miss Maldine Slavin was talking about it one time. And she said, Brother Ken, you ever listen to D.L. Moody? I said, I have. And she said, I went and listened to him one time. Said it was one of the great disappointments of my life. She said, I thought, well, he's no better of a preacher than Harold Slavin is. Amen. And I'll tell you this. Hey, you know what made Harold Slavin a preacher? And what made Brother Mitchell a preacher? And what made D.L. Moody a preacher? And thank God it was not what they said. It was the power of God that they had and when they were saying it, amen. It was the fact that they had spent time with prayer. I'll tell you what it said about D.L. Moody. And this is where that came from, Brother Jones. It said he got so busy during the daytime and as soon as he woke up in the morning that he never stopped till night. And he said, Lord, just a few days of that, Jordan, he said, his prayer life was lacking. And so this, he didn't call it a prayer life. He called it watching with the Lord. And this is what he said about it. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. He said, since when I wake up, I'm too busy. He said, I'm going to start getting up at 2 o'clock every morning, and I'm going to watch with you till 4 o'clock because I can't do what I need to do and not have spent time with you. And I thought, my God, you want to know what the secret is? I found it, amen. I start getting up at 2 o'clock and pray until 4 o'clock and see if you don't get a better walk with God as a result of it, amen. Thank God, thank God. Listen, don't look at me like that. Everybody in this room knows what I said's right, amen. And I want you to hear me, friend. And we find that what they did, I'll give you just a few things and I'm going to be done preaching. But I want to preach on this thought. The church is sure to be a seeking church, but I want to preach on the subject. I'm glad somebody touched heaven for me, amen. Now look here, friend. I'm glad when it come time to come to the house of God. I sure am glad that somebody knew how to get a hold of God, amen. I'm glad somebody, thank God. I read a lot of things that convict me. And if you ever want to hear some of them, call me someday, and I'll be sad. You will too, amen. I read a lot of things that convict me. And one of them was, I was reading about this old martyr named Bradford, and this is what he said. He said, I never stop praying whenever I'm confessing my sin until I feel my heart that's broken under the weight of that sin. He said, I never stop petitioning in prayer, but when I get to seeking the Lord, I don't stop seeking Him until there's an earnest expectation in my heart of what I've been seeking Him for. He said, when I go to thanking God, he said, I never stop thanking Him until my heart gets so big and my thanks turns into praise, and the next thing I know, all I'm doing is praising Him. I thought, man alive, you talking about getting somewhere with God? And my friend, we give up way too quick. If God don't show up in our first 5 minutes of our prayer, and we say, thank God, I better just try this again later. He's worth waiting on, amen. I'll tell you what you do, listen. Now everybody hear me today, and I want you to listen real good, and I'll try to help us the best we can. But if you want to talk to God, now listen, somebody as important as God that comes into a conversation, I'll tell you what you do, amen. You don't talk first. Let somebody more important than you talk first, amen. Hey, you just get in a place where you can listen and wait on God to talk, amen. And I'll tell you, before long, God will start talking to you. And say, how does he talk? Not in an audible voice, but God speaks through the word of God, amen. And God will start using his word and start dealing in your heart, and then you can start talking to God. And one old preacher said it like this. He said, when I pray, I ask God what's on his heart, and then I try to get in tune with that. And he said, me and him both talk about whatever he wants to talk about. That's a pretty good way to pray, amen. I'm simply saying this. This church got to that place, and my friend, the only thing they're trying to do, how they don't know anything else, all they know to do is let's try to touch heaven. You know what John Bunyan, that old great feller said one time? He said, the early church knew something that we don't. And this is what he said. He said, the early church has stormed the gates of heaven, and they battered its walls with their repetitive prayers. I said, they would not give up until they'd got a hold of God. Well, I like that, amen. There's no secret. Thank God, just sacrifice. Martin Luther said, if what you got, that doesn't cost you something, that doesn't cause you to suffer, if what you got doesn't move you to sacrifice, then what you got's not much, amen. But oh, friend, aren't you glad? Thank God that somebody has somewhere touched heaven for you. There's a time in your life that you was in that shape and you needed somebody to get a hold of God. Everybody in this room right now knows somebody that is incapable of getting a hold of God themselves. And thank God you're in the stand. You're somebody who knows the Lord and can get a hold of God. Now listen, if you can, why are we not doing it, amen? Oh, listen, I want you to hear me. As First Church was a church known for praying. I thought about this. Watch what your Bible says. I'll give you three things about how somebody touched heaven for them. And these are things that just make me happy in the Bible. Verse number 5. He said, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for it. I like what it says down there in verse 12. It said, where many were gathered together praying. I thought about this. If you showed up at this church here, it was not too sparse. They wasn't just a few. Thank God, listen. They had her packed out. They didn't have the latest Southern Gospel group. They didn't have the latest evangelist. He said, no, so we're going to do one thing. He said, we're going to pray. And listen, friend, when you study the scripture, you'll find it was men praying and women praying. It was older praying and younger praying. I thought about little Rhoda and little John Mark. Hey, listen, friend, we'll study maybe about John Mark's life some other time. But what a wonderful impact that this prayer meeting must have had on his life. Can you remember listening to somebody pray and you think, man alive, it's not by coincidence. I mean, there's a few folks in my life that are just prayers. But Miss Chet was one of them. I thought, man alive. And listen, friend, and when all you got's the Lord and you're washing dishes, and you know what she's doing when she's washing dishes? How she is a praying. And when she is a sitting around, how you know what she's doing when she's sitting around? How she was praying, amen. You can't pray and watch soap operas, amen. I can't pray and watch wrestling. And thank God. And you can't pray, amen, and be listening to rock and roll, amen. And those two things, they just told, they don't go together. And you might ride down the road and pray, but you'll not ride down the road listening to AC/DC praying. And those two things don't go together. But oh, listen, I'm glad you can ride down the road and pray. I'm glad you can wash dishes and pray. You can change diapers and pray. And you can listen to about anything. And listen and pray and get a hold of God. Amen. Oh, listen, I want you to hear me today, friend. We're standing in this place. All they had was prayer. And they said, listen, if Peter's going to get out of where he's at, he's going to get out of the place that he's in. There's only one hope we got. We're just going to have to get together and pray. Said there's nothing else. I mean, look here. I'm glad nobody was embarrassed about it. He said, everybody knew what Peter was down in prison. And when they showed up at church, nobody was gossiping about him. They just said, there's a real big need. Said, we all need to get together and pray. Amen. I said, oh, Peter's down there, and he's going to die just like James did if we don't touch heaven for him. And I don't know which one of them did or if all of them did. But wouldn't it have been something like, God, it's just one after another, just one prayer after another prayer. Say, God, would you help Peter? God, would you help Peter? God, would you help Peter? And before very long, you know what God did? He said, I believe I'll help Peter. Amen. And now listen, hey, some folks, hear me today. I want to help y'all. I hope to God that this is. But I want you to listen to me. You can't nag people into serving God. Hey, you can't ride them into serving God. You can't guilt them into serving God. Hey, God knows if you could guilt somebody into serving God and I thought it worked, I'd do it every time I stood up to preach. Amen. And that's it. And I probably do it sometimes. Amen. How about you? It won't last. It won't never last. It won't look at me, friend. It won't never last. I mean, it will not ever last. I'll tell you this. You can go by and say, why ain't you reading your Bible? And to thank God, they'll not never read it because they love it. Say, why ain't you doing this or that? And they never will do it. But I'll tell you what you do. You go get on your face before God somewhere. And day after day, say, oh, God. I said, it's me again. I'm trying to reach heaven again. I need you to reach down to where they're at and touch them. And I'll tell you what you'll find that'll happen. And before very long, that hammer will start breaking the rock in pieces. That flame will start melting the coldness. That sword will start piercing, even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it is a discerner and intents of the heart. Listen, friend, I'm saying this. Don't second guess prayer. It's the most powerful weapon that the church has. Amen. Listen, if I was in charge of Vietnam, we'd have bombed it. It'd been over a long time ago. Y'all listen to me. I'm not sure why. Look here. If I was in charge, I'd already nuked Iran. It done been done. I'm telling you this. It'd been a shame. Old Vance Havner talked about the Vietnam War. He said it was a war that we was afraid to win and ashamed to lose. I think that's absolutely right. At any point in time, we could have just went and dropped a bomb and been done with it. Can you imagine having access to that sort of power and not using it? And here we sit as the house of God, and God's give us access to the heavenly weapon of prayer. I mean, thank God, friend, that you could ring. I mean, well, hey, look here. An atomic bomb can only reach so far. Help a prayer reach all the way around this world. And you tell me we ain't interested in doing it. Have they assembled together? They was in agreement together. They had one man on their heart. I want to say this. They were interested in abiding until that prayer was answered. Amen. It said they prayed continually. Amen. How long's continually? Y'all help me right there. I'm from Scott County, and I understand that probably some of what the words I understand don't mean the same. Last time I checked, continually means round the clock. You reckon if I were to put out a sign-up sheet this morning, say we're going to start praying round the clock for some folks, I wonder who's going to take that 3 o'clock in the morning time. That 1:30, that 4:15. So we need somebody to pray around the clock. You know what times we'd sign up for? Y'all know what's right. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to you. I'm talking about Kevin too. We'd sign up for them times it's convenient. Slide him in 15 minutes before supper time. Say, I'll take my slot. I'll take my 15-minute slot and I'll pray for 5 and I'll watch the clock for the next 10. Say, Lord. Y'all say, Brother Kevin, that's a little hard. I'll ask you this. I'll ask you this. You be honest. You be honest. When's the last time you really got a hold and prayed for more than 5 minutes for anybody? I feel like that's a fair question for all of us, don't you think? We talk about how much we want to see God move. I'll tell you what they done. They said, Lord, we're just going to keep on meeting with you until Peter gets out. And I'll tell you one or two things was going to happen. He was going to get temporarily delivered or he was going to get fully delivered. But they was going to pray until one of those two things happened. We find the first thing happened in this passage of Scripture that is interested with responsibility of prayer. I want you to watch this. Notice the second thing we find is the results of prayer. I'll tell you what prayer will do. Let me just run through this real quick. You just try to pay real close attention. I'll be done. Watch what the Bible said there in verse number 6. Said when he would have brought him forth, verse 7 said, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison. When somebody touches heaven for you, they can bring a mighty bright light into a mighty dark place. You say, Brother Kevin, I don't know how anybody's ever going to reach him. Well, have you tried praying? You say, well, yeah, I did 15 years ago. I prayed for him for a little while, but you know what we do? We get discouraged praying. And we say, well, I prayed and nothing happened. I tell you what I do. I just keep praying. Amen? There was probably a time folks was praying for you, and the first time they prayed for you, nothing much happened. And they kept praying anyhow. And they kept on praying. And then usually what happens is once we pray our family in, we stop praying. Somebody help me. Don't dial me on that one. Y'all know that's right. We'll pray our four in the door, and then we say, you know what? I've fasted and I've prayed and I've sweated and I've poured. And now it's somebody else's turn to bear the load. God help us. God help us. These folks right here, best I can tell, nobody in this story is related to Peter. Not nobody. But they're all interested in the same thing. They got a light to him when he is in a mighty dark place. I want you to watch this real. They lit him up whenever he was sightless. They woke him up whenever he was sleeping. You won't wake somebody up that's sleeping. Amen. You got to pray it on them. Pray it on them. I ain't talking about physically. I mean, somebody told me one time, they said, "Brother Ken, I'm sorry I went to sleep in church." I said, "I've been putting people to sleep in church since 1999. You ain't the first. You won't be the last." And I'm going to say something. Don't get your feelings hurt about this. It says more about you than it does about me. I wish I had more help. Boy, that stung a little bit, didn't it? I felt that. That was right. That was right. I had a fellow tell me one time, said, well, if the preacher had more God about him, you don't get no more God than God. Lord Jesus Christ praying over in a garden, you know what his disciples was doing? Don't get no more God than God. You don't get no more power than Paul had. Oh, Eutychus up in the window, you know what he's doing? Sleeping. I'm saying this, if we understood how much light it brought in a dark place, how much we really could wake somebody. Watch what he said. I want you to watch this. Talk about bound with two chains and the keepers, verse 6. Then it said in the next verse, said they arose quickly and the chains fell off his hands. I'm talking about they got a hold of God. It wasn't nobody, no locksmith. No, they got a hold of God. God shined a light. God woke him up. God let him loose. God let him out. God did it. And he done it because there's some folks that was praying. I'm going to say this, friend. I hope you hear. Last night, and they said this publicly, and it don't matter, but I want you to hear me. Last night in the revival, Brother James, he done a wonderful job preaching as he always does. There's no question about that. That was not the highlight of the service for me. Brother Mike, you was there. You probably couldn't even see what I saw. But there was a family went up, and there's a mom, and a dad, and two little boys, and they got to praying. And when they got up, the dad stood up and he testified to this. He said, we've been going through a real hard time. And he said, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know if we'd come out the other side of it. Didn't know if our family would still be intact. And he said, but I was praying. Now he's standing like this. And there's two or three people and the wife and then this little boy down there. And when he got to talking about how he was praying, that little boy got to making his way away from his mama. That dad had his arm just like this, and that boy hugged that arm up. And he was hugging him. And he said, but tonight, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember word for word. He said, but tonight, what we've not been able to do ourselves, the Lord done for us on that altar. And then the most powerful thing in the whole service happened. That little boy, tears started flowing from his eyes, and he said, praise the Lord, Daddy. Praise the Lord. What I'm telling you, that got on me. You know what that little fella knew? That little fellow knew something happened down there praying that made things right where things had been wrong for a very long time. And I'll tell you this, friend, if you've ever been in the house of God very long, you found the same thing to be right in your life. When things ain't right, days and place. Now, I'm going to be done. I can tell some of you wanted me to be done half an hour ago, but I'm going to be done right here. The first church was known as a praying place. That means they was known as privately praying, corporately praying. Be honest with ourselves. If anybody came in our church, would they say, you know what Amazing Grace is known for? That's the prayingest bunch of people that I ever met. I'll tell you this, you know what the one thing the Lord tells us for sure He wanted His house to be known for? House of prayer. House of prayer. I want you to watch this. I'm going to be done. I like the reality of praying. Here's the part that blessed. You know what I love about this Bible, Ty? It's an honest book. Paints faults. Paints everything. Everything just like it is. And this is what we find it talks about in this book. They didn't even believe what they was praying for. Is that right or not right? They was praying for it, and here comes old Peter. He says, well, I guess I'll go down there where they're praying at. Somebody looks out and they say, man, that looks like Peter. She don't even open the door. And he comes back and tells them and says, Peter's at the door. And they said, no, that ain't Peter. See what they, it was, hey, Stephen, it was exceeding abundantly above all that they asked or thought. They thought that it could be an angel. You know what they're saying? They thought Peter was dead and his spirit come by to tell them, hey guys, I'm dead. And instead he comes by in the flesh. They say, somebody go. And the Bible says when he came in, they were astonished. You know when you get astonished is when you didn't expect anything to really happen. Isn't it amazing? They were praying continually for something they didn't really believe would happen. But God honored their effort in praying anyway. Y'all ought to stop right there and shout her out until he comes back and gets. Despite their flesh, despite their faithlessness, despite their faults, despite their failures, God honored their effort. And he said, now listen, I know y'all didn't believe it. 2 Timothy 2:13, I think it's where you'll find it. Somebody have to look that up. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, and if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. For he cannot deny himself. That first church was known as praying. I'm going to ask you this just simply. Daddies, husbands, are you known as praying men? If I ask you, children, are you known as praying men? Mamas, I'll ask you. Are you known as praying mamas? Is your home known as a place where regular prayer is made? And then lastly, for this church, would this be a place that we could say, man, we're following the pattern. We ain't got much right. We ain't got a lot. But we're doing the best we can to pray people out of hell. I'll give you the message. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet.